This is a celebration service. A celebration for our friend and sister, Sharon Earhart, who has preceded us into the presence of God. Scripture says that these bodies we have are just tents. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 says this, "For we know that when this earthly tent we live in is taken down, when we die and leave these bodies, we will have a home in heaven, an eternal body made for us by God Himself and not by human hands. We grow weary in our present bodies, and we long for the day when we will put on our heavenly bodies like new clothing. For we will not be spirits without bodies, but we will put on heavenly bodies." Sharon no longer needs this earthly tent, this clothing, because she has put on a new heavenly body. We want to see her again. I don't know about you, I want to see her again. We want to be with her again. Here's how we can make that possible. Sharon understood something about Jesus which many of us fail to understand or accept. I'm going to tell you what it is. I believe it is something she would want all of us to hear, me included, and to remember and hear again and again. In fact, there will be a tape of this message available after the service for your own remembrance or to share with someone that you love. It's sad that it took her dying for us all to be gathered together to hear this. But in many ways, she saved her best ministry for the end. This may be the first time you hear this, so let me say this politely but firmly. Listen up. This will only take 10 minutes, so we can all afford to give it our complete attention. This is what she has been trying to tell you in her life and in her words. Maybe we've said to ourselves something like this: "She was good enough to get into heaven, but I'm not. I wish I were, but I'm not." Or maybe we say, "I'm going to make sure I'm going to see her again. I'm going to change my life. You'll see. I can live a good and decent life like she did, and then I will earn a place in heaven too." Religions and spiritual people struggle to get good enough to be approved by God, or to be enlightened, or to make it into heaven. And we actually think that we can do this on our own. And when we fail, we either think we're beyond being saved, or we pretend. We work hard at our act of holiness or niceness, or we work hard on our act of being too tough to care, or being too bad to be saved by God. Both acts are just plain old pride, and it's hollow. It's not real. It's not authentic. It's an act, and we're all too good at it. Jesus turned all of this stuff on its head. All of this spiritual malarkey, Jesus turned on its head. Ephesians 1:9, you heard James read it. "God's secret plan has now been revealed to us. It is a plan centered on Christ, designed long ago according to His good pleasure." It's centered on Christ. It's revealed to us. It's God's secret plan. I've known geniuses, measurably IQ-wise geniuses, who didn't get it. I've known millionaires and billionaires. I've actually known 2 billionaires in my life. They didn't get it. I've known strong, self-made men and women who didn't get it. Heck, I've known theologians and pastors who didn't get it. Sharon got it. Sharon got it. She dragged her family here to this family of God because she wanted them to get it. She wanted all the children in her family and in the neighborhood to get it. She dragged neighborhood kids here because she wanted them to get it. She wanted her nurses and doctors in the hospital, her roommates, the cleaning people, to get it.
You couldn't keep her down and you couldn't keep her quiet. She wanted everyone she met to get it. Here's what she got. Listen, this is the whole gospel. This is the good news. Jesus is all about saving us. But let's use a different word. Restoring us. Jesus is a junk picker and a master restorer. He is all about rescuing people from the junk heap and restoring them, rebuilding them, refinishing them, making them new again, new creatures, giving them new life, new birth. He takes that which has been trashed, He takes that which has been trashed and discarded, and He makes it new. The master carpenter is the Son of God. And so He can do this if we'll let Him. No matter how lost and evil and mean and depressed we are, He's more powerful than any of that. It's trivial to Him. This is the good news. The good news, even while we were sinners, this is what Scripture says. Even while we were sinners, Christ died for us. The Christian faith does not end with forgiveness because we've earned it. It starts with forgiveness, even though we didn't earn it. That's what the reading from Ephesians 1 and 2 that James read was all about. That's what Jesus meant when He said we had to become like little children, without the pride and the swagger of adults, but with childlike faith. Sharon's plaque said it this way: faith is not believing that God can, but knowing that He will. He will forgive. He will restore. That forgiveness is free. It's not the end of a long struggle to be good enough, but rather it's the beginning of a great restoration with God as our refinisher. We don't get out of the junk heap on our own. We don't make ourselves holy. We don't work our way up a mountain to God. He comes to the junk heap and gets us. He forgives us. And then He begins the great restoration, step by baby step. And we don't do this. We don't go through this process alone. He designed us, every one of us, to do it together, helping and restoring each other and being willing to ask for help. We are all apprentices of the Master Carpenter. We are His hands and His feet. Scripture says that. We are His hands and His feet. He touches us and refinishes us through His people, the family of God, by the power of His Holy Spirit. This is the fundamental distinctive of faith in Jesus Christ. It starts with forgiveness. He forgives us without our earning it. We can't earn it. And then He draws us into a family of God where He does His renovation work, His rebuilding and polishing, step by baby step. This is why Sharon loved the ark that we're building out there for the children. I encourage you to go and wander around in it after this service. We're rebuilding and refinishing an old wreck of a portable classroom, and we're turning it into a brand new thing, Noah's Ark, for the kids. Sharon got it. This is what God can do for each and every one of us. Not because we're strong or successful or smart or rich or strong, tough, or self-made anythings, but because we allow Jesus to forgive us. Knowing that we can't get right with God by ourselves, we just can't do it. And then by allowing the family of God, which Scripture tells us is Christ's body, the church isn't the institution, the church is the family of God. It's the people, it's Christ's body. We allow the family of God to lovingly reform, reshape, and rebuild us. Get it? We are Christ's loving hands for each other, hands empowered by the Holy Spirit. Sharon got it. But this means that you and I have got to be living in God's family. That's where the action is. That's where the healing and restoration is. It's in His family. We have to be honest and open about our failures and weaknesses and allow ourselves to be loved and polished and restored. That's what our brothers and sisters in this family are for. What about the fear of embarrassment? That's a trick of the devil to keep us from asking for and getting help. We're not supposed to wear masks, Sunday faces, and pretend everything is okay. That's not what church is supposed to be about. And if it is, then we're forced to try to make it on our own, and we can't. But we can make it together because God works through every one of us to restore every one of us. And not just the people we like. Anybody can do that. Even people we don't like at all, our enemies. Jesus tells us to love them, especially them. Jesus did that for us, even when we were His enemies. And He wants us to do it for each other. We have to be here together, caring for and forgiving each other and holding each other up in order for that to happen. We can't make it on our own. Let that sink into our hearts. We can't make it on our own. It's only by the power of God working in His family that any one of us can experience the restoration that He intends for us. God can do it alone without His family. Of course He can. But He doesn't. He never does. He chooses to do it here in and through His own family, the brothers and sisters of Jesus who carry on the work of Jesus. Us. All of us. If your church isn't doing that, then you start it right there. And if your church won't do it, find one that will. If you don't have a church, find one where God's family is alive and well and understands this. Sharon got it. She understood that Jesus, the Savior, really means Jesus, the junk picker and master restorer, and that He does His work in and through His family. He doesn't work with people who are solo acts, who think they can do it on their own. This is an incredible and foolish conceit, and it always fails. We can't do it on our own. What do you think the laying on of hands in prayer is all about? They are the hands of Jesus reaching through our hands to touch each other. Sharon got it. She dragged her family here to this family of God because she wanted them to get it. She wanted all the children in this church, even in her neighborhood, to get it. She wanted everyone she met to get it. Do we get it? Do we get it? Then let's not let her down. The music team is going to lead us in a song called Here I Am. This is one of Sharon's favorite songs. This is a song about the Lord asking us if we are willing to go for Him, to love and restore His people, to hold them in our hearts. Sharon's answer to God's question, "Will you go for me?" Her answer to that question was, "Here I am, Lord. I will go for you. I will hold your people in my heart." And let me tell you what I want you to do. Listen up. If your heart has the same answer to the Lord today, then when we sing, "Here I am, Lord," I want you to stand up. Now, I don't want you to look down on anybody who isn't ready to stand. This is God's timing, not ours. And I don't want you to stand just because other people are standing. God doesn't want us to be hypocrites. Jesus hated hypocrites. And don't force anybody else to stand up. It has to be our own decision. But if your heart is ready, then you stand when we sing the words, "Here I am."